Today we want to wrap up our Forward in Faith series. I thought I'd wrap up by giving you a little riddle. Today's message is about a faith that goes. And I want to give you a little bit of a riddle. The riddle goes like this. What do a boat in the dock, a plane in the hangar, and a car in a garage have in common? They don't go anywhere. They don't go. A boat in a dock, a plane in a hangar, and a car in a garage are not doing what they're created to do. Planes are meant to fly. Boats are meant to go out to sea. Cars are meant to be driven. A car has to go. In fact, a car will break down faster through disuse than through use. Well, you know what? Your faith is just like that. Your faith is not meant to stay in the garage. Your faith is meant to go. God gave us a faith that's meant to be used, a faith that's meant to go, a faith that is meant to be on the move, a faith that's meant to be shared. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians like to park their faith in the garage, and they only take it out for that occasional Sunday drive. When your faith is hidden and you're ashamed of it, you're ashamed to be associated with Jesus, not only do we not grow in our faith, but our faith actually moves backwards. It starts to deteriorate. It starts to fall apart. That's why when Jesus talked about our faith, he commanded us to go. Today we want to talk about a faith that goes. And I want to take you to some of the last words of Jesus while he was here on earth. Both of these passages are post-resurrection passages. In other words, Jesus has already been crucified, he's already resurrected from the dead, and he's about to ascend to be with the Father. But before he goes, he leaves us a commandment to go. In fact, it's your memory verse today because it's commonly called the Great Commandment. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So circle the word go. The word go is presented as a statement, but in the original language, in the Greek language, a better translation of that would be as you are going. Because literally what this verse is saying is that as you go about your life, as you go about today, you are to be sharing your faith. As you go through your daily routine, take your faith with you. Don't leave it at church on Sunday. Take it to work with you. Take it to class with you. Take it to the Super Bowl parties next week with you. Take it when you get together with friends. As you go, share your faith along the way. Take your faith with you every day. Live it out. So, most people don't know about our faith. They don't know what we do on Sundays. They don't know about Jesus. In fact, one recent study found that fewer than 25% of Americans can name one of the four Gospels, which we just read from, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we have a great opportunity. We don't have to go very far to find someone who needs to hear about our faith. Jesus said it this way. his very final words before he went to be with the Father. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power. You will be emboldened. You will be empowered when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Here's what you're to do. You will be my witnesses. Circle that phrase. That's a legal term. So stay with me right here in the verse for just a moment. That's a legal term that Jesus takes from the legal community, and he says that what you are to do as you go is you are to bear witness to what you've seen and heard me do. Now, I've had people say, "I'm just not really good at telling other people about my faith because, well, I'm just not that good of a person. I mean, I really don't live the Christian life as perfect as I should, and I'm not really that good, so I don't know if I can tell other people about my faith." Listen, a witness doesn't talk about themselves. It's not about you and where you are. It's about what Jesus has done in your life. If you know something about Jesus, if you've been to church, if you have Jesus living in your life, if you have a relationship with Him, you have something to share. You can be a witness. Honestly, sometimes the best people to go and tell others about their faith are people who are imperfect, because other people can identify with you because they're imperfect. If you've been through something difficult and God's been there with you, you bear witness to that. If you learn something that's been helpful to you and you tell other people about that, you bear witness to that. If Jesus has done something in your life, you bear witness to that. That's a faith that goes. It's also, let me tell you this, a faith that grows, because it's impossible to move forward in faith without having a faith that goes. It's about maturity. It's about growing. So today I want to give you 4 actions that you can take to have a faith that goes, a faith that points other people to Jesus, a faith that draws other people to Jesus, a faith that doesn't stay parked in the garage and wears out from misuse or disuse, but a faith that's useful. So let's start with something relatively easy to write down, but maybe hard to do. If you want to have a faith that goes, here's 1. I tell others that I'm a follower of Jesus. A faith that goes is someone who's not ashamed to let other people know that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of Jesus. You're going to have this come up soon. What did you do on Super Bowl Sunday? It's going to be the big talk at work, the big talk around family. You talk to friends. What did you do on Super Bowl Sunday? Now, here's what you can do. You can cut straight to 6:30 in the afternoon and just talk about what you did from there on. Or you can find the guts to muster up this, "I went to church," and then kind of move on and talk about what you did at 6:30 in the afternoon. I'm asking you to have the guts to let people know that you're a follower of Jesus, to have the guts to not be ashamed that you know Jesus, that you worship Jesus, and that you're willing to serve Jesus. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 1:16. He said, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ." Why? It is the power of God at work saving everyone who believes. Have you noticed that in our society, the only people that are afraid to talk about their beliefs are Christians? Have you noticed this? Like, every weirdo belief out there, people have big signs in their front yard that says, I believe the moon is God. And everyone's like, oh, you believe the moon's God? Tell me more about the moon. They talk about the wackiest stuff. I mean, everybody else, you probably know every denomination in your neighborhood. You say, well, that person's this, and that person over there's that. Well, let me ask you this. Do your neighbors know what you believe? Christians be like, afraid to put up a Christmas tree. We're afraid to tell people that we celebrate Easter. Now, if you want to put up a Festivus pole, man, you know, we're all for it. Remember that old Seinfeld thing? We'll put you on the TV news with that. But why are we the only ones that are afraid to talk about our faith? I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid. There's nothing wrong with letting people know that you believe Jesus. Like, the hard thing to get over is that Jesus rose from the dead. After that, you know, we ought to let everybody know. Now, a lot of times we're afraid. We're afraid, like, what are they going to think? Like, we've got this good news. The Apostle Paul says, everyone who believes. The implication here is, if we had a cure for cancer, if we somehow discovered this cure, then we would tell everybody that we know. As Christians, we've got good news to share. It's better than finding a great restaurant. It's better than finding a medical breakthrough. It's salvation. We should share it. We don't have to be afraid of what other people might think. 2 Timothy 1:7 and 8 says, for the Holy Spirit, which is God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise, strong, and to love them. Now look at this sentence. You want to be wise about how you tell them. You want to be strong when you tell them, but then you want to do it with love. Enjoy being with them. If you'll, you know, stir up this inner power, you'll never be afraid to tell others about our Lord. If you realize this great news that we have to share, you'll never be afraid. You should tell others because it gives you a chance to see life change. It gives you a chance to see life change. Telling others that you're a follower of Jesus, it's not the entire process, you see. But sometimes you let somebody know at work that you're a follower of Jesus. And then they start asking questions. Next thing you know, they come to church with you. Next thing you know, they become followers of Jesus. But then get this. When you tell others that you're a follower of Jesus, it's a promise that you'll be blessed. You do this to be blessed. God blesses you when you tell others about Him. It just feels good. Every time you let a coworker know, every time you let a family member know that you are a follower of Jesus, God's going to bless you in return. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to embolden you. He's going to give you more of His power. He's going to allow you to be wise and strong. Other times, they might do what Jesus called persecute you. They just might. In fact, I didn't put this in the notes, but in Matthew 5, in the very famous teaching on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are you if you are persecuted because you live for me." In other words, if somebody pokes a little fun at you because you're a Christian, if somebody laughs at you behind your back, wear that as a badge of honor. I don't mean, by the way, they're persecuting you because you're acting in a mean way, a prejudicial or a cruel kind of way. I don't mean that you're putting on the, you know, I'm better than you hat. If you're acting like a jerk because of your faith, you deserve to be persecuted. Not in the blessed kind of way. But if you're doing what the verse said in 2 Timothy, you're being wise, being strong, loving people, enjoying being with them, and you let somebody know you're a Christian, and they poke a little fun at you, you experience some resistance, so what? Bear it with pride. Jesus was ridiculed. Jesus was rejected. You may pick the wrong team in the Super Bowl. So what? You've chosen the side to be with Jesus. Don't be afraid because you're persecuted. You're going to be blessed. Then you're going to grow spiritually. You're going to mature. During this series, we've done everything we can to help you move forward in faith, to help you grow in your faith. Last week, if you missed it, I gave you the 6 ways to grow in your faith. And all that's great stuff. But if you're hiding your faith, if it's currently parked in the garage, you're never going to be as mature as God wants you to be. Because it's impossible to grow in your faith if you don't have a faith that goes. A faith that does not go is a faith that does not grow. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. Number one, I tell others that I'm a follower of Jesus. That's a great privilege to let other people know that you are a follower of Jesus. Let's take a look at the second action. I can take to have a faith that goes, and that is I pray for others to become followers of Jesus. I pray for others to become followers of Jesus. Now, as I'm letting other people know that I'm a follower of Jesus, I also want to pray for them. This is an important step. As you develop a faith that goes, you have the opportunity not only to let people know that you're a Christian, but you can begin praying for the people in your life who need to become followers of Jesus and haven't yet done that. You may be thinking, okay, but what do I pray? I want to pray, but what do I pray? Well, you pray for God to give them spiritual wisdom and understanding. At least that's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 1:16 through 18. He says, "I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." Underline that phrase, spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? So that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light because people without Jesus are living in darkness. Even the people in your life, that your heart will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future He's promised to those He called. We're asking God to open these people's hearts and to help them understand what's available through Jesus. So, the question that remains is, who are you going to pray for? Well, each of us should develop a personal prayer list. Now, don't get me wrong, most of us probably have a prayer list, like, you know, don't let my boss yell at me today, let my stuff get done on time, let us have enough money to pay the bills. All that's important, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not taking away from those prayers. This is a unique prayer list, though. This is a prayer list of the people in your life who don't yet know Jesus. And each of us needs to keep and maintain one of those lists and pray for them. So, if you're not sure who that is, I'm going to give you a little tool to help you. Think of the acrostic FRAN, like someone's name, Fran. And here's what that stands for: friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. So friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. And I want to give you a chance right now to get started, to write down a list of who you're going to pray for. So, who is it? Who is it right now that you're going to write down? Remember Fran. So, who are some friends in your life? Some friends of yours that don't know Jesus that you're willing to pray for. How about relatives, family members? Is there anybody in your life that doesn't yet know Jesus, but you're going to pray for them? Associates, coworkers, people that you work with, people that you sweat alongside of, people that you work in the cubicle next to them. Whatever it may be, write their name down. Then finally, your neighbors, the people who live around you in your neighborhood, in your community. So, we pray for the people in our lives who don't yet know Jesus. The next action in having a faith that goes is when I put feet along with those prayers. I do that when I invite others to become followers of Jesus. I invite others to become followers of Jesus. So if you're going to pray for someone to become a follower of Jesus, then you have to take that next step. You have to provide them with opportunities to hear about who Jesus is. And one of the best ways to do that is by inviting someone to join us here at church for a Sunday service. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul says that this is our responsibility. In Ephesians 3, here's what he says: just think, though I did nothing to deserve it, and though I am the least deserving Christian, here we go, I was chosen for this special joy of telling others about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Isn't that powerful? You and I have been chosen for the joy of telling others about Jesus. And we should get excited about inviting people to church. See, God has placed you exactly where you are for a reason. In your family, It's not just a fluke that you have the family members around you. You're there for a reason. At your job, in your school, with your friends, in your neighborhood, you are there for a reason, because God wants to use you to influence the people in your life for Him. So here's a question for you. How else are they going to hear it if you don't tell them? Who else is God going to use? Because God wants to use you. And you need to understand that. God wants to use you to invite the people in your life to come and check out His Son, Jesus. The number one reason every time why people come to church for the first time is a personal invitation. A friend or a family member invites them to come. So, let's get personal for a moment. I have two questions for you. Number one, who are you inviting to church? Who are you going to invite? Who's on that list that you're praying for? And how is the second question. How are you going to invite them? See, next week, you have the perfect opportunity to invite the people in your life to attend church. I know that's going to take you out of your comfort zone, but check out the promise that Jesus gives us in Matthew 28:20. Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So you're never alone. Jesus always goes with you. So as you have a faith that goes, number one, you want to tell others that you are a follower of Jesus. Number two, pray for others to become followers of Jesus. Then number three, invite others to become followers of Jesus, using whatever means necessary as Jesus goes with you in that. Those are three actions that you can take. But I want to remind you, here's what God does. It's number four. Number four, I trust God to call others to become followers of Jesus. I trust God. You are responsible for the first three. You're responsible to let somebody know, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, to pray for them, to invite them. But ultimately, the result is up to God. You see, you're not responsible for changing their life. You're not responsible for somebody else saying yes. Only God can change someone's heart. So we have this privilege to cooperate with Him. The Apostle Paul was talking about it back in the early church. In 1 Corinthians 3, he talked about his partnership with a guy named Apollos. He says, "My job was to plant the seed in your hearts." In other words, I let them know I was a Christian. I invited them. I told them. Then Apollos watered it. He came along and said, hey, come to brunch with us, whatever. But it was God, not we, who made it grow. Now look at this. The ones who do the planting or watering aren't important. But God is important because He is the one who makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work as a team with the same purpose, yet they'll be rewarded. Now remember that blessing that I was talking about earlier. They will be rewarded individually according to their own hard work. Now, I love this last line. We work together as partners who belong to God. So I want to invite the folks I can invite. I want to pray for the folks I can pray for. But then together we will partner with God so that hopefully they'll say yes. Now, I told you about the study of people who couldn't name the Gospels. That same study said that 50%, fully half of your friends, will come to church with you the first time they're invited, if they receive a sincere invitation. So that means that 5 of the 10 people that you're going to invite probably will come next week. But then I also know, and it's true, that some of the people you invite won't come next week. But you planted that seed. Others will come along and water it. Then they'll come with you at Easter, or they'll come with you this summer, or they'll wait until fall. You see, we take the long-time perspective here at church. We're in it for the long haul. Some of you, you've bounced around for a long time before you ever found Jesus. But we're trusting God with the results, because that's what love does. In fact, the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13:7, some of you really needed to hear this verse today. It says this: love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love never gives up. Maybe there's a family member that you care about, a coworker that's going down a bad path, a close friend you really want to see come to faith in Jesus. But perhaps it's been so long since you've seen progress that you've started to write them off. But God hasn't. God hasn't. You can trust God with them and don't write them off either. Do everything you can this week to invite them. A faith that goes. This has been an incredible series that we've been in for the last 5 weeks. Forward in faith. We've challenged you to have a faith that knows, a faith that shows, and a faith that grows, and then today goes. But if you feel like, for whatever reason, in spite of all that, your faith has been parked in the garage, today I want you to know that it's not too late for you. You can begin to move forward in faith as well if you will trust God and step out and follow Him. Whether it's a simple next step that He told you to take, or whether it's some big act of faith, choose today to take those steps. Our key verse for this entire series has been Hebrews 11:1. It says, "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things we cannot yet see." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You've done at our church here at the beginning of this year. We thank You for the way that You've called us to move forward in faith, for the way that You've challenged us and pushed us and stretched us out of our comfort zone. And God, we thank You for that. May we all continue to pursue You and develop in our relationship in following Jesus. God, this week, may we overcome that fear that we have of other people and let them know that we're followers of Jesus, so that we can be blessed, so that we can grow, so that we can see life change in them. God, we commit not to just pray once, but to pray regularly for these folks on our prayer list, our friends, our relatives, our associates, our neighbors. God, use us this week to invite others to follow You. It starts by coming to church. It starts in sharing that we're Christians, And then it goes beyond that to telling others about your son, Jesus. This good news that we're not ashamed of. God, we trust you with the results. God is results. We trust you to work inside of us to make us more like your son, Jesus. We trust you to work in our communities, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, and around the world. God, we want you to help us move forward in faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.